All right, we're in a series called Death, Eternity, Now. And we've talked about heaven and hell, right? And remember the first week we talked about a difficult question. And we've talked about some easy questions about heaven. And last week we talked about a difficult message. And you can find all of those messages on our website. And this week, I'm going to share with you a message called A Difficult Day. Now, we are going to get to 1 Corinthians 3 in a little bit, but I want to read to you some other verses before we get there, all right? And they will be on the screen for you as we go through those. 2 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." 2 Peter 3, verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition," which means eternal judgment of ungodly men. Matthew 12, verse 36 says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." And Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So, is there a judgment day coming? Absolutely. Will everyone be judged? Yes. Will believers be judged? Yes. Will unbelievers be judged? Yes. But will we be judged by grace or works? Listen to me carefully. Yes. Now listen, I'm not saying that salvation is grace and works. But there is a believer's judgment, and there is an unbeliever's judgment, and at both judgments, listen, works are judged. Let me show you a few other scriptures, all right? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14 says, "For God will bring every work," would you mind saying the word every? "Every work into judgment," including every, would you say that word again? "Every secret thing, whether good or evil." Okay, you can groan now. Okay, some of you didn't groan, so that means you're okay with it, all right? Matthew 16, verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each," say the word each, "according to his works." Okay, Revelation 22, verse 12 says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every," would you say the word every? "Everyone according to his work." Okay, I am an each. And you are an each. And we are an every. Are you following me? Okay, so God is going to reward each and everyone and judge each and every person, listen, according to his work. But are we saved by works? Not at all. And let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And say these next three words with me. Not of works. Can you say it one more time? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay. So how do we explain this? How do we explain that we are saved by grace, but judged by works, according to our works? All right, I'm going to give you the most simple way to understand this huge theological doctrinal issue. I'm going to give you a very simple way, and it is two words. Pay attention here. We have to learn to determine and distinguish between our, listen, we have to learn to determine and distinguish between our belief and our behavior. Belief and behavior. All right. Our belief determines where we spend eternity. Our behavior determines how we spend eternity. Let me say it again, and then I will unwrap it for you. Our belief alone determines where we spend eternity. And our behavior determines how we spend eternity, whether that person is in heaven or hell. Okay, in heaven, we're going to be rewarded for our works. And in hell, people are going to be punished for their works. But where you go, heaven or hell, is completely dependent upon whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not. And the Bible is so clear about this. But listen, there are two judgments. And I'm going to talk about each of these two judgments today. There are two judgments. You have the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And hear me. At the judgment seat of Christ, every person there is a believer. Every person is a believer. And at the great white throne judgment, every person is an unbeliever. Every person at that judgment is an unbeliever. And people don't understand why. I mean, they are like, well, why are you going to have a judgment if every person there at the great white throne is an unbeliever and is going to go to hell? And why would you have a judgment if every person at the judgment seat of Christ is a believer and they're going to go to heaven? And listen, the reason is because this judgment is not to determine your belief. Your belief has already been determined. It is already determined which judgment that you're going to attend. Do you understand? But at that judgment, at each judgment, your behavior will be judged. You with me? Okay, here's what I'm trying to tell you. It matters how you live. It matters what you do on this earth. And according to Scripture, if you believe, it will alter your behavior. You see, God's grace, God's unmerited grace, favor, gives us the desire, should give us the desire and the power to serve God. So let's talk about these two judgments, all right? And let me reiterate, we are not saved by works, but works do matter. By the way, let me say this. This is why people who understand grace get upset when people talk in the wrong way about works. And this is why people who understand that our behavior matters get upset when people talk about grace sometimes and don't talk about behavior. This is why. But I want you to understand the two can marry. They're married in Scripture. And it's easy to understand when you separate belief and behavior. When you understand what each of them are for. All right, so here's the first judgment. The judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 15. It says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." He's referring to Apollos here. But let each one, and I'm not going to have you repeat it, but I want you to think about it every time I say it, okay? Let each one take heed how he builds on it. In other words, how he builds on the foundation of Jesus. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone, that includes us, builds on this foundation, Jesus, and these are believers that he's talking to, okay? With gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day, capitalized, judgment day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which has been built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. You're going to be rewarded for your works. Now watch verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He's going to lose his reward. But he himself will be saved. That means these are all believers. Yet so as through fire. Okay, so it's a lot to unpack there. But I want you to notice a couple of things. First, you can be a believer and be building with wood, hay, and straw. Or you can be a believer and build with gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, you can be a believer and be doing works that will last forever, that will be eternal, and that you will be rewarded for. But you can also be a believer and be doing temporal things that you will not receive a reward for. Or you could actually do something that's eternal, and because of the way you do it, listen, you can lose your reward for it. Now, we're not talking about going to heaven or hell. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? Remember that. And let me just show you how Jesus himself said that you could lose a reward for a good work. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4, and this is Jesus. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward on earth. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will," watch this word, "himself reward you openly." Now, I want you to notice, first of all, you can do something good and actually lose your reward for it because of the way you do it. But also notice this, the Father himself will reward you. Did you know that the Father is going to give rewards to you personally? Personally. I mean, it's not like there's going to be a billion people up there and the Father walks out and says, "Y'all did good. Here you go." And of course, there's going to be someone in the back saying, "What did he say?" And someone else says, "He said they need more wood." No. It's not going to be like that. It's personally. That's not how it's going to happen. He will give it to you personally. That's what God's Word says. Let me show you another scripture. 1 John 2, verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence." Watch this. "Confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, this is talking to believers. Okay, why would you be ashamed? Let me tell you why some believers will be ashamed at the second coming. It's because they wasted their life. I mean, they believed in Jesus, but they didn't serve Him. They didn't love Him like they should have. They didn't walk with Him as close as they should have. They didn't give their lives for the kingdom of God. And now it's over. And they're not going to receive many rewards for what they had done. And did you know that, or do you realize that heaven is going to be cities? Heaven is going to be cities. It is Luke 19, Jesus says, "To the good steward, He's going to say to one of them, 'You be ruler over 10 cities. So, in other words, we're going to have responsibility in heaven. And Jesus told us to store up treasure. Listen to this. He said, "Store up treasure for yourselves in heaven." Friends, heaven's not just going to be us floating around on clouds. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Heaven is going to be perfect with no sin, no sorrow, but we are going to be living our lives. Okay. When I was young, I went to a baseball camp one time in our city. And I went with a good friend of mine on my youth league team. And this friend, he just goofed around. He goofed off the entire camp. I mean, he played pranks on people, and he certainly didn't apply himself. And the last day, when we all got together, the whole large group got together, there were these tables that were set out, and there were these trophies on these tables. And this was before everyone got a trophy, right? And he saw those trophies, and this look came over his face, and he said to me, "Wait a minute. Nobody told me they were going to give out rewards. If I would have known, I would be getting an award, I wouldn't have goofed off the whole week." And of course, he didn't get a trophy because he goofed off the whole week. Okay, I wonder how many believers are going to get to heaven but not have many rewards and not have much responsibility. Because listen, there are degrees of heaven and there are degrees of hell. Stay with me. Let me ask you something. Will the person who is a believer, but he really doesn't give generously and he doesn't serve and he doesn't witness and he doesn't really give himself to the kingdom? Will he receive the same rewards as the person who gives sacrificially and spends many hours helping the poor and wins many people to Jesus? Will each receive the same reward? No. Because remember, God is a just God. God is going to recompense every person, believers and unbelievers, according to our works. And this person who gives his or her life to the kingdom and sows and serves and loves and ministers is going to receive rewards. So that's the judgment seat of Christ. And remember, it's for believers. All right, what about the great white throne judgment? The great white throne judgment. Turn to Revelation 20. The great white throne judgment. And I'm going to show you why we call it the great white throne judgment. All right? Revelation 20, verses 11 to 13. Then I saw a great white throne. That was all we theologians could come up with. All right? That's why it's called the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Okay, please notice, books. Books here is plural. The word books is plural. It's important. Books were opened. And another book, singular, was open. And the book, singular, that book is the book of life. Okay, listen. This is a great example of belief and behavior. Pay attention here. If you believe your name is in the book, singular, but in the books, plural, in the books are all of our works. That's where those are, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. You with me? You see, the books are books of works or deeds that we did. The book is whether you believe. Okay, continuing on. And that book is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, plural. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, and remember, Hades is the Greek word for hell, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Okay. Now, I asked you a question a moment ago. Will a believer who really doesn't give or love or serve get the same reward as believers who sacrifice and give generously and witness and serve? Will they get the same reward? Obviously, if you think about it, no. They won't get the same reward. We're going to be rewarded for our good works, the Bible says. Okay? Will an unbeliever who does not give his life to Jesus, but he is a good man by worldly standards, he just obstinately says, no, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I will not give my life to Jesus. But he goes to work, and I mean, he's a good husband and a good father, but he obstinately refuses to give his life to Jesus. Will he receive the same punishment as a murderer who never came to the Lord and repented. No, it's different. There are degrees of punishment. Because remember, God is a just God. Each will be recompensed for his works. He will be punished for his works in hell. And I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. And this is Jesus saying this. Matthew 11, verses 21 to 24, Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable." And this is the Greek. This is the Greek word by word meaning less suffering or more lenient. It will be more tolerable. More tolerable. So could it be more or less if it's both the same? Right? No. Following? "It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum," and notice, again, it said the day of judgment. That's what we're talking about. "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades," or hell. "For if the mighty works which were done in you," now watch this, this is an amazing statement that Jesus is about to make. "If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." In other words, what he's saying is Sodom would have repented. "But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom." Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? "In the day of judgment than for you." I mean, this is amazing. Did you understand what Jesus just said? And do you know what was done in Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida? He said the works. You know what that means? It says the works, the mighty works. That is talking about the mighty works of Jesus Christ himself. The works, the mighty works that he was doing in those cities. The miracles, the healing, and the preaching of the gospel. And they rejected him. Do you know what Jesus is really saying here? He's saying, if I had gone to Sodom, they would have repented. And God knows people's hearts. I mean, this is Jesus talking. We can't argue with it, right? This is Jesus. I've learned, I don't argue with Jesus. Jesus said Sodom would have remained until this day. We would not have destroyed Sodom with fire. They would have repented. And I'm telling you that Jesus is saying it's going to be more tolerable. More tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than it will be for you. Okay, let me read you this verse out of Romans 2, verse 5. It says, "But in accordance," or to the degree, that's what it means, "in accordance," or to the degree, "with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And remember, he's talking to unbelievers here. That's who he's talking to. He said, do you know what you're doing? You are storing up too. But you are storing up wrath. And friends, you have to go back to the attributes of God. You really do. Yes, God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. But God is also what? Just. And a just God is going to judge each and every person one day. And believers will be rewarded, and unbelievers will be punished for their works. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, but I really need to say it again. And I know this sermon series has been heavy. It's a heavy sermon series. I know that what I'm telling you is meaty. It's deep. It's heavy. Listen to me, though. Hear my heart. I feel like the doctor that is saying to you that you have a disease. And if you don't treat it, you will die. But there is a cure. There is a cure. There is a cure. Praise God. So I'm not telling you these things to scare you. I'm simply telling you the truth from God's word. Listen. There is a judgment day coming. And every person will stand before the judgment seat of God. Every person. But the question is whether it will be the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just simply telling you that there is a cure. There is a cure to make sure that you are at the judgment seat of Christ. And that cure is Jesus Himself. If you give your life to Jesus, if you sell out to Jesus, if you serve Jesus completely, you will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat that every person, let me tell you, is going to want to be at. Jesus is the cure. So, you have a choice. You have a choice where you will spend eternity. What do you choose? Or maybe more appropriately, who do you choose? My friends, today I encourage you to choose Jesus. Amen. During this last song, the altar is going to be open. And let me tell you, the altar is open for multiple reasons. You know, I would have to say over the years that I have gone to church, and even as a pastor, the number of times I've come to the altar, it's been about 50-50. I mean, I've been up here praising the Lord for the blessings that He has given me. I've been up here praising God that Jesus came to die the death that I should have. I'm praising Him. Thank you, Jesus. You can be up here praising the Lord. Or you can be up here today. You might be just pouring your heart out. Maybe something's going on really tough in life. And you just need Jesus to take the wheel. Maybe today's the day you're going to come up and give your life to Jesus. But the reason I'm saying this, you got to understand my heart, that I think over the years in church, maybe because of our background or whatever, we automatically assume when someone comes to the altar steps, ooh, they did something bad. No, that's not the case, okay? And I want us to start changing our mindset. I want us to stop thinking the negative if someone comes up here. Because I know, I've had someone tell me recently, Pastor, I wanted to come up. I was worried what someone would think. I don't know, but when I see someone coming up, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord that either whatever is hurting them and is on their heart, that they're giving it to the Lord, or I'm praising the Lord because they're actually up here praising the Lord. I'm just praising the Lord. They're coming to the Lord. So I want you to understand that this is for the brokenhearted. And it's for the ones that are just praising God for all that He has done in their life. So during this last song, please know this altar is open. Let us pray. Father, we just come before you today, Lord, and we just thank you. We thank you so very much. Oh, that we get to choose which judgment we get to attend. And it's my prayer that everyone here in this church and everyone that's listening on Facebook and everyone that's listening on Pulse FM, that they choose you, Jesus, so that the judgment seat that they get to attend is the judgment seat of Christ, Lord. And Lord, may we be a people that becomes on fire for you. May what you have done for us changes so very much that we want to do good works. Not because good works save us, but because you have done so much for us. This is what we want to do for you. We want to reach others. We want to share Jesus with others. We want to serve. We want to give you honor and glory in all that we do. Lord, work in us. Ignite in us a fire like never before. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for our final song.